Chapter 24. The red sun had dipped toward the horizon, the light shifting gradually from orange to yellow as its paler twin remained high in the sky. The Tislavr workers had discarded most of the salvage, then loaded the remaining bits and bobs they thought might fetch some coin onto their ship. Locked inside the vessel, Charlie was beside himself with grief. But as the hours passed, his pain rapidly shifted to a growing anger. "How long until they let us out of these cells?" he asked from his cot. "They can't keep us in here forever."
"No sure," Tuk-Tuk replied. "Depending how far fly to next planet, maybe gather more slaves, maybe go to sell us."
That got Charlie's attention. Another planet? But this ship doesn't have anything that remotely looks like a space drive system. In fact, I didn't see any visible propulsion means on the ship at all. Maybe it has atmospheric capabilities, but how would it even break out of the exosphere?
I not understand all the words, but Tuk-Tuk believe meaning is clear. This ship is fast, very strong, has many druk on board.
What's a druk?
He's spellcaster, person of power, mesters, even emic sometimes.
Mesters are like wizards, right? But what's an emic?
He's more powerful than mester, only below Visla, but for Visla, death is preferred to being slave. But many emic and mester captured in battles. Wars lost. Them become slave. Get color like this, but much more stronger. Keep them from using magic. Them only able to cast specific spells.
Wait a minute. You're saying the ship is powered by a bunch of shackled wizards, casting spells for propulsion like a bunch of hamsters on a wheel?
What is hamster?
That's a small animal that runs nowhere on a wheel for hours and hours, an analogy for expending energy but accomplishing nothing.
But we go somewhere. Druk race that have power to make fly, and Captain Tur have many druk on his ship, even backups, for to if should badness happen.
Yeah, sorry, I'm calling bullshit on that one, Charlie said. There's got to be a logical, scientific explanation. Like the slap, for example. It looks like a voice-activated weapon, but that doesn't make it magic.
He's made work by power user, you see?
I saw a man with a gun, even if it didn't look like one I'd ever seen before.
You strange man, Charlie. No believe what you see. It always been this way. Power to fly, power to fight, power to heal. This is how he's across this galaxy. Each solar system gives different power.
Wait, that's like some Clark Kent stuff there. The sun gives you all powers?
Oh, not, of course no.
Phew, for a minute there I was thinking only some have powers. Vast majority just normal people, only very few born with them. Rest of us pay power people for them help us. Charge devices, do work at houses, that sort of thing.
You're saying these people run your planets? Your whole world uses this magic instead of technology, instead of science?
I think you say science was like magic.
Well, it seems that way sometimes, but it's just science in the end. There's even an old Earth saying, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Strange talking. You say it magic, then it is not. Seems obvious.
Charlie noticed a nearly imperceptible vibration in the ship, traveling up the floor to his hard cot. There was no sound, no sensation beyond that, but something was definitely happening.
You feel that?
Feel what?
That vibration.
He's nothing. We leaving now.
Charlie jumped to his feet and went to the window. Though he felt no G-forces from liftoff, the ship indeed was airborne, rapidly ascending into the sky. The force field across the window opening prevented any wind or loss of pressure, but visually, it was just a hole in the ship's hull. It was hard to ignore the sensation that he was about to be sucked out any minute. Higher and higher the ship soared, until the wreck site below was just a speck. That's when Charlie saw the reality of their situation.
Son of a, he muttered. Of all the places to crash.
From what he could tell, Tuk-Tuk had been telling the truth about Visla Belimar and his great war.
The desert wasteland he'd been toiling in was no more than 50 miles across, a shallow red crater where something had taken place. Something awful by the look of it. It wasn't a ring of mountains bordering the dusty red desert. A blast had forced the soil and stones to the periphery, and Charlie had somehow crashed right in the center of it. "It's so green," he said, eyes darting across the vast expanse of lush forests and clear lakes spanning the planet. "And you say Balamar's place was like that too?" "Oh, it were much nicer. I'm very powerful, Vizsla. Was great healer and loved by many. Even spoke with Zamoki and other creatures. Many fought on his side during war. Was much good man." "So what happened? You said everyone liked this guy." "Not every. Many Vizsla and Emek who very bad wanted to take from Balamar, steal him powers." "Wait, they wanted to steal his power source?" "In manner of talking. But Balamar wise, him spend much power create way to tap source and create more power. Him said to found way to heal even a Vizsla like him. To no die. Was secret, a rumor. But bad men want for themselves." "So they did what tyrants have done since forever when they find someone stronger than they are. They joined forces." "Exactly. Even then, was too great power them to overcome. Finally, them decide if they cannot tap the flow, no one can. Them spend years storing powers, then hours casting worse spell. Take turns, use many utaki, building bigger and bigger until finally they overwhelm even Vizsla Balamar." "The crater." "Yes, was terrible spell. And them not expected to do so much destroy. Power flow was destroyed along with Vizsla Balamar, along with millions of people." "That's horrific," Charlie said. A jolt knocked him to his cot. "What was that?" "We leave Airshell. Guess we go into another world now." "That was us passing through the atmosphere?" Charlie said, moving back to the window. Sure enough, they were in space, and the only thing keeping him from dying in the vacuum was some invisible barrier over the window. "Ship should not have bumped. Captain Tor will be angry with the Drooks on duty. Maybe punish. For a little turbulence powering through the atmosphere? Hell, where I'm from, anyone would be thrilled for so smooth a flight. No, Captain. I'm very particular." The blue man's eyes went wide on their stalks. Charlie turned to see Captain Tor himself standing outside his cell, watching him with an appraising eye. "Your people are most unusual," he said, ignoring Tuk-Tuk and casually walking into the room, untouched by the force field blocking the door. "Your craft, so cumbersome, so inelegant, and absolutely full of useless clutter and debris." Charlie noted he could understand the lithe, elfish man clearly. "Son of a bitch uses the good tech for himself, I see." "You saw it in less than perfect condition. We crashed," Charlie replied. "It was a very rough landing." "Yes, I am aware. I wonder, however, where were your Drooks? We searched the vessel and found no sign of them." "We use engines, fuel, reactors. That's how we power our ship. Or did, before we crashed, anyway." "Pity. A fresh clutch of Drooks would fetch a sizable price in this system. All told, your salvage was quite pitiful. But now that you're awake again, I was hoping at least you might have some worth." "I'm not for sale. You can't just take people and force them into slavery." At this, Captain Tor laughed, though the edge in his eyes was anything but friendly. "I can do whatever I please. And now what I please is to see how much value is in your pink hide." Without warning, he uttered a phrase and blasted Charlie with his slap. Charlie tried to dodge, but he wasn't quick enough, the blast sending him flying across the small cell into the wall. It wasn't a powerful blow this time, but it still stung something fierce. Charlie climbed back to his feet, a small trickle of blood running down his temple. He glared at the alien with undisguised hatred. Resilient at least, and decently quick on your feet. I may have use for you yet, Tor said, then walked out the door. Wait, What about the other crew? My shipmate, when can I see her? She will be assessed further. Perhaps she has value as well. If not, at least she can gain us some coin as a meal for the Zamoki at the Brewer Markets. The green alien turned and was gone. What's the matter, Tuk-Tuk? Charlie asked, wiping the blood from his head. The cut was tiny, he felt, but the head was vascular and certainly did tend to bleed. Did you not hear? They are taking us to the Brewer Markets on Galea. There most are sold for hard labor. Well then, we'll just have to see about getting ourselves free first.